Hello, and welcome to this week's Instant Film Review. I'm your co-host, Matt.
I'm your co-host, Troy.
And this week, we're playing a little game called Talk the Other One Into Watching a Movie. Reason being, I didn't borrow Hamlet in time. And when he was like, it was Wednesday, he's like, hey, you want to borrow it? We could record Friday. And I was like, sure. And he's like, remember, it's a four-hour movie. And I was like, fuck. So Hamlet will be next week. Did you bring it? Fuck. Bring it Sunday. Okay.
Yeah, fail all over the place.
That's okay. I should have reminded you.
Yeah, it's...
You had to remind me of recording tonight, though, so... Quid pro quo, we both suck.
Yes, squid pro ro.
Yes, yes. So, I already told Troy what movie I picked. He didn't tell me his, so I'm kind of excited, because he didn't seem to really like it. But so I want to lead off with that. I want that to be the end. I want to talk about my movie.
Absolutely.
I went through, you know, I'm a clickbait kind of guy on Facebook. I just like to fucking around and read weird shit. Like, where's Amy Jo Johnson now? Like, okay,
still
cool.
Still being hot as hell.
Yeah. I was reading one that was like, hey, for a cheap scare during Halloween, here's the top 10 suspense horror thriller movies on Netflix. I was like, okay, cool. So I'm reading through it. Some of them I'd seen, Henry, The Portrait of a Serial Killer, with Michael Rooker, you know. So I'd seen a couple of them I'd never heard of, a couple were foreign. So I went to number one, and it was 2013's The Sacrament. I read a...
Good name.
Yeah.
Solid name.
Solid name. Read a quick synopsis. It intrigued me, so I put it on, watched it right away that evening. It was only an hour and 35 minutes, so it's not, like, super long. It didn't take an entire evening.
It took you 4 hours.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun, though.
Good.
I really enjoyed it. 6.1 out of 10 on IMDb, 62% Rotten Tomatoes, RogerEbert.com, he had to do this from beyond the grave. He gave it a 2.5 out of 4. So, you know, it's okay for a horror movie, like a low-budget horror movie. I'm fine with that. I don't have, actually, the operating budget of the film, but I do have... Box office was... $9,221. So,
hey.
Woot. That's like one screen.
Well, I mean, it's all in,
I'm sure it's making some good Netflix money.
Yeah, because I was, one movie that I looked at doing was Fruitvale Station. And I looked at the numbers at that, and it cost $900,000 to make, and it pulled in $17 million.
Wow.
So when you can turn around and make
that's from the guy that did that's doing the Creed movie,
yeah,
and then Michael B. Jordan from the Creed
movie. Yeah. So when you turn around and eight times your profit, you know, it's good. It's probably good, and it was the third highest grossing movie of a limited release, like a movie that had limited release. So
nice,
yeah.
Well, I went for the unknown. You were thinking Fruitvale, that's cool, but you didn't watch.
I didn't go there. No, because in the spirit of Halloween, I wanted to look at a Halloween movie as well.
Well, let me talk to you about The Sacrament real quick.
Sure.
What intrigued me most about it was a story that I was too young to know, being retold in the modern era. It's the story of Jonestown.
Okay.
But not using, you know, what was it, James Jones?
Jim Jones.
From Indiana. Richmond, Indiana.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, us.
We got that.
Oh-ho. And it was actually not as brutal as the real one was, which was something interesting. They dumbed it down. Like, over 900 people died at Jonestown. This movie, there's only 167 people living in the little commune. So, spoilers, by the way, sorry.
I wonder why they chose to dilute the number down so much.
Scale, probably. I mean, you want to pay 900 extras when your movie's going to make $9,000?
Right. True enough.
They were really scraping the bottom of the barrel, too, because two of the extras were Harlem Globetrotters.
Wow.
Yeah, so... Good job. I mean, they had one scene where there was some basketball in the background, but anyway, so you get the story. It's what would happen if Jonestown happened today. So, there's a small, internet media company, you know, make YouTube videos and what have you. And, one of the camera guys, his sister contacts him. She'd fallen off the grid. She had gotten real deep into heroin, fallen off the grid. And all
as
of a sudden,
you do.
As like you do. And, she contacts her brother and says, I want you to come visit me. I'm living, it's called Eden Parish, and it's in the middle of, like, South America or something. It could be Africa, I'm not really sure. Either way, So the guy tells a couple of his buddies at work, the boss, that he needs this time to go, and the boss is like, I would like to go and film this. This is interesting. You know, this weird sect of Christianity that's, like, isolated itself from the world. No lights, no phone, no motor car. Not a single luxury.
Yeah, thanks.
Like Robinson Crusoe. Okay. they go to this commune. It's got armed guards on the outside, which they're like already kind of like, what the fuck? But you go inside, and you meet the Jim Jones character. Everybody calls him Father. What an interesting portrayal. So they needed somebody. He's, I mean, essentially a no-name. Big fat guy, but I don't know. He looks like everybody's grandpa. Everybody in the movie, like, just loved him. And they all talk about his power of public speaking. Like, you want to do what this man tells you. And it kind of falls into that when you get into a fundamentalist group where, you know, almost cultish. Like, this is a Christian cult, essentially. Yeah. Like, that's why there are cults, because there are those charismatic people that can get you to do what they want. And so it was really interesting to watch that character operate. And it wasn't like him growing into power or anything. It was already an established community, and so it was really cool to see how, I don't know, how his character influenced others and how he worked, and how he just seems so benevolent. And then, of course, in the end, much like with Jonestown, everybody drinks the Kool-Aid. They use cherry instead of grape, which is what they'd use in Jonestown, but that's cool. And I mean, like, it's chilling. It's chilling. Them giving, like, they take the needles out of syringes, fill it with the Kool-Aid, and give it to the babies and stuff. Oh my god, it was fucking brutal, but it wasn't brutal. Like, it wasn't a violent movie. There was a couple of fight scenes, there's a couple of, maybe where, like, people were like, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid, and they run off, and one of the guards shoots them. But it was the most not scary horror movie I've ever seen. But it was a good movie.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed myself watching it. I can't recommend it enough to folks that are in that mood at Halloween time.
I was going to say, by your little statement you made online, because you posted about it, like, I think you said something about it, or maybe that was just to me, I can't remember. But you just basically said what it was about, like just the whole Jonestown thing. And, like, it sounds like an interesting movie, and then when you say it's a horror movie, I'm like, it doesn't sound like a horror movie. Like,
yeah.
Sounds like it could be a good movie, but still.
It's, yeah. Like I said, it's chilling, it's not a horror movie. It's a thriller, it's suspenseful, because, like, I had the given knowledge that I knew it was kind of based on Jonestown, because that's what I read in the synopsis. So, like, the whole time I'm waiting, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of edge of the seat, like, when's crazy going to come out? Uh-oh. Do they actually worship the devil or something? I don't know. What's happening? And there's nothing paranormal. There's no slasher element. It's just this charismatic motherfucker controlling people through their own weakness to raise himself up, in a manner of speaking. Like, maybe he legitimately thought he wasn't seeking power. Maybe he legitimately thought he was helping these people. And that's fine. But through his own paranoia and anxiety about the world outside, you know, he closed himself off and it just went bonkers. So, it was a really fun flick to watch. I really enjoyed it.
Good.
The end. Good. Nobody famous in it, really. I don't know. There's one scene of fratricide, which is very chilling. That really kind of gripped me a little bit. And there's one pretty brutal suicide. And beyond that, it's not gore porn, even though produced by Eli Roth.
Oh, really?
This was the tamest Eli Roth film I've ever seen.
So, there was a suicide before, like, the mass suicide?
No. You know, that, like, you hear the saying, like, if you follow the eye for an eye, then...
Eye for an eye leaves the world with one man blind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's one person left at the end, so...
Or it leaves the whole world blind.
Something like that.
And yeah.
Like, but we're thinking of Seven
Psychopaths. Seven Psychopaths. No, there'd be one guy left with one eye. How's the last blind guy going to take the eye out of the last guy with one eye? Yeah. I love that movie, by the way.
That's a good
flick. I watched it again not that long ago, and it was just, damn, it's enjoyable.
Such a good flick. Great cast.
Side note, go watch Seven Psychopaths.
Yeah. Has that ever been on Netflix? I feel like it might have been on there for a few minutes.
I don't know if it's on Netflix. I think it's
not now.
It's on... Where did I watch it from? I think I watched it off of Amazon. So, it's on Amazon if you have...
Is Amazon $7.99 a month?
Like, it's $100 for the year. So you pay for the year.
You pay $100 up front, though?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll wait till tax season.
Well, mine kind of happened on accident. I had the free trial. And then
all of a sudden, $100 came out of your checking account. You're like, fuck!
I was going to, like, I kept meaning to call it. I was just going to cancel it, but then I, like, forgot. You know, so days went by, and I'm like, well, now they're not going to give me my money back, probably. So I was like, eh, screw it.
Fair enough.
I get enough out of it.
Yeah. So. I mean, well, and I almost wonder, like, do I need it? Because Hulu is bringing such great movies now, too.
Yeah.
Hulu's got some solid shit.
Hulu. Well, Amazon, but Hulu is $7.
Like, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I use Hulu.
Yeah.
I almost think I don't need Amazon now because Hulu's bringing in such solid movies.
Hulu, yeah, I mean...
Before, all I had was Netflix, but I wanted movies, and, like, Hulu would have, like, four movies, and I never heard of them.
Where Amazon is a little bit different is you can actually essentially buy movies, and they're yours, but, like, you don't download them. They're just, like, sort of in your library. So,
okay, so, like, the cloud?
Yeah, so through work, because of the TV that I bought a few months back, they had a promotion. You had $100 in credit to buy these movies, and they had to be these specific movies, so 4K movies. So I bought Fury in 4K, and I watched that the other day, and
is it awesome?
My God, yes. Great movie. I recommend Fury as well.
Never watched it. I need to. I need to get on that.
It's, I told a coworker today, it was what Inglourious Bastards should have been.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's an actual, like, war movie.
Okay. Yeah. You know what war movie I was thinking of today was Monuments Men. Did you ever watch that?
I didn't, but I wanted to, because it had a great cast.
It had a great cast.
Freaking Bill Murray's in it.
Forgettable movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it was. They honored, there was 250 Monuments Men in World War II.
Yeah.
And they honored the survivors with, I think, Congressional Medals of Honor today or earlier this week at the White House. And so it just made me think of that while I was driving home. I was listening to the story on NPR. I was like, oh.
Neat.
Okay. Yeah, too bad the movie sucked.
That sucks.
Damn. I mean, I'm sure it didn't suck. It just wasn't what I was hoping.
Yeah.
I want Bill Murray and John Goodman to be in a movie together, and I want them to be Bill Murray and John Goodman.
Right.
So, what are you going to do?
Hey, the door's open.
Yeah.
Hi, door.
Anyway. You were saying? What was your movie?
So, I don't know if you listened to Michael Ironside on Nerdist a few months back.
I did. I was actually reminded of him this week because he was on Flash.
He was on Flash, yeah. Because
he did the thing where he says Chris Hardwick's dad's name out loud and talks about how you die two deaths.
Right.
Which is just such an interesting theory.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. That was that episode.
That really resonated with me. I really enjoyed that.
He was on there promoting a movie that he was in called Extraterrestrial.
Uh-huh.
Not to be confused with, you know, E.T., obviously. And his enthusiasm about it, like, at that time, you know, it interested me. And so I was scrolling through Netflix looking at the horror movies. And that pops up. And I was like, okay, I'll give this a shot. You know,
I want to point out, too, Extraterrestrial not in that top 10 list I read.
Yeah. Shouldn't be. So essentially, the movie kind of starts out like Cabin in the Woods, where these four teenagers are going off to a cabin in the woods. They say Cabin in the Woods several times in this movie, and I'm thinking, would you guys stop saying Cabin in the Woods? Because this movie ain't no Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods, man. I'm going to have to go fucking rent that this weekend.
That's so good. But, like, so you start out, the movie starts with this woman frantically running up to a convenience store, a gas station, like, banging on the door, like, wanting to get in, and this guy, you know, flips over the door, turns the open sign off at that time, and goes, sorry, ma'am, we're closed, and she starts banging on it. Wants to use the phone, runs over to the phone booth. Yes, this movie still had a phone booth.
Ooh, neato.
And then George Carlin appears. No. gets to the phone booth, tries to phone a number, and then blinding light, and then all you're seeing is the clerk's reaction to it. And then he walks outside. And he's kind of like walking around trying to figure out what's going on. The phone booth has disappeared with the woman in it. And then out of nowhere, the phone booth falls from the sky and shatters into a million pieces.
All right. So already, that's intriguing.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see that. Make that the trailer. I'll fucking go watch
that
movie.
Yeah. And if that trailer was made, you'd fool a lot of people to see in this movie.
It's like, what's that movie? Girl Next Door. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah.
Where the trailer, you're just like, this is going to be titties all day long, and there's not one single set of tits in it.
Yeah.
Like, it was actually a chick flick designed to get guys to watch it. Fucking bullshit.
It was still a good movie.
It was all right. It made me have the feels.
Yeah. So, the main part of the story is this girl, her mother has asked her to go to this cabin to take photos of it to for the to give to the realtor because they're putting it on the market. She's putting it on the market. So she basically has her boyfriend to go along with her to spend a weekend together. Basically, her plan was to tell him that she's going off to New York for a job, you know, and isn't quite sure about where the relationship is heading. Little does she know, he's going to propose.
Oh.
And so then he ends up
It's going well for him.
Yeah, so then he ends up inviting three more of their friends.
Because that's what you want to do when you ask a girl to marry you, just have other people there to make it awkward.
Well, it ended up being like, he was going to propose, and then they walk out, and then they had this whole, like, surprise party essentially planned. But so, his buddy that comes along with them, first words out of his mouth, and I'm already like, I don't like this guy. Like, just like, this character. The character is annoying. I'm like, alright, this movie is already, like, kind of back on even ground with it. Hoping still that this is going to get better. They run into, Michael Ironside's character, who's this pot-growing, you know, ultra-right-wing, sort of crazy conspiracy theory guy. And is, you know, telling this, all these crazy theories, and you're just kind of like, okay, I'm kind of getting back on this movie.
Okay, yeah, crazy old guy in the woods. I like it. It's Michael Ironside, come on. That's one of those guys with the voice that could tell me anything.
Yeah, and that, I'm trying to remember exactly how this all played out. Because he made some comment about, I think there was something about the woman's disappearance, and he made a comment about, no, this was after, okay. So, the first night at the cabin, you know, the dude played Cormac McLaggen or whatever on the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
So grabs the girl and, you know, proposes to her. She kind of says basically no because she doesn't know where, you know, if this relationship is going to last. They throw this whole existential, like, we're just insignificant specks in the universe, blah, blah, blah. You know.
Were they high?
No. Well, they might have been, actually.
That would make more sense.
They were, because, yeah, she was. But
she was smoking the marijuana.
But it was something that was on her mind, you know, previously. So then, you know, the storm happens, but it seems sort of supernatural. And then there's this stuff going on outside, so they grab some shotguns that are in their dad's, like, gun case or whatever. And so you see her standing with her back to this, you know, double doors that go to the outside, but there's windows. Mm-hmm. And the boyfriend, you know, he gets this big wide-eyed look on his face, and the lightning starts flashing, and you see this alien standing right there.
So gray?
Like a gray, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so she's like, swings around basically blindly and like shoots. Thing has disappeared though, so you don't know if she hit it or not. They go out to the pool, and he's like laying in the pool with this like big gunshot wound like in his gut.
The gray is?
The gray is.
Oh, that's cool.
And so, then they go to leave. This tree's in the road, but it looks like it's been cut, like, supernaturally. So, like, obviously the aliens have cut this tree to block them from, because they said they're all like, this is
they traveled thousands of light years and used a chainsaw.
Well, like, or like by a laser or something.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't just shoot the car with a laser?
Well, so, yeah, so it gets them out of the car, and one of the girls in the party, so, then this, the big red light flashes. Oh, I'm sorry, I totally skipped the whole part of it.
Oh.
Yeah, this reminded me.
I kind of want to watch this movie now.
My explanation might make you want to watch it, but there's just certain scenes in it, and one of them I was about to explain, but what started it was, and a UFO crash. They're smoking, and they're at a party. This is after the breakup. And they see this fireball shoot out of the sky, and like, crash into the,
Okay.
So they see this UFO.
So these grays are stranded.
Yeah.
Maybe?
So I got my events backwards. I thought I was right, but I wasn't. So
maybe that gray was just like, hey, can I use your phone?
Essentially. So yeah, crash land.
I need a phone home.
Yeah. They crash land. They try to leave. Tree in the road. They get out of the car and one of the girls. So they're all out of the car and they're trying to figure out how to move the truck. They decide they're just going to turn back and go by the cabin and try to phone somebody. And one of the girls is just standing there and basically just looks up, sees a UFO, like a good 10 seconds passes, she looks back at them, looks back up at the UFO, looks back at, and it's just like, that happened at least, I swear, like 8 times, it felt like. And then they suck her up into the ship. And I'm just like, you had plenty of time to get back in that car. Like, nothing was keeping her there until, like, the tractor beam or whatever. But I'm like, a lot of time happened. I'm like, she could have just gone back in the car.
Ma'am.
So like, I had no.
Ma'am, can you get, ma'am.
The main thing is like, I'm just not invested in any of these characters because they don't do anything to give you any sort of backstory to them except for the two.
Well, that's what makes a good horror movie, because then when they die, you're like, ah, all right.
But at the same time, like, you want to, like, the whole alien thing, like, being abducted, you want to care about these people because you're thinking that you're gonna be able to save them sometime down the road. You don't. So then they go back to the cabin, shoot the alien, that happens. They end up finding pot smoking Michael Ironside, and he's like, his theory is that since the Roswell crash, that the U.S. government and these aliens have a standing agreement that they will allow them to take humans, abduct them to perform tests, as long as we do not have any sort of like interaction with the aliens. Yeah. Essentially, so by her shooting this alien, we've broken the treaty, and now they're like out to get everybody.
Okay. They inadvertently threw from a wild shotgun shot.
Yeah.
Started an interstellar war.
So, yeah, so then there's a whole to-do about them, you know, running from aliens. Basically, everybody but the main girl gets abducted. And her decision to try to keep the UFO from going away is to pick up a Roman candle and shoot it into the air. Because earlier, the dumbass kid, they were driving down the road, he was shooting a Roman candle out of the sky and being a dumbass kid. And so, that gets brought back in. She's shooting a Roman candle, which goes like 100 feet in the air to bring back a UFO that, you know, several thousand feet or whatever. And I'm just like, if this works, fuck this movie.
Yeah.
And so then there's the inevitable, oh, shucks, it didn't work. Bright red light, here's the UFO, sucks her up. She goes back to rescue the boyfriend. He's like, why did you save me? Blah, 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 blah. And she ends up, you know, oh, well, we're not alone, so actually I do love you now. And I'm like, wow, this is like really. It reminded me of Signs in the way that I'm like, no, this is not how like. This is not how like destiny works, or how that kind of that idea, like, it's not how this is supposed to work. Like,
the kismet of,
yeah,
the movie.
So, essentially, they get back, or the aliens send them back down because they see them in a loving embrace, and they're like, oh, I guess we'll keep these two alive.
Bullshit.
No. Yeah, they had them dead to rights. Like, there's this whole thing where they, like, can control you telepathically. And so you see him raise his hand up to him, and then they're like, oh, they're like hugging each other as if they're both going to die, and then you see them, they wake up in the middle of the field, like, the next morning.
With antennas coming out of their butts.
No, there was a scene where the jackass of the movie is in this, he's in this, like, he's standing upright, but, like, restrained on this thing, and, it comes out, he's already, like, lost an arm because he tried to handcuff himself to a tree before it sucked him up, and, like, then you see him get sucked up and his arm, like, half of his arm is still standing there, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool, but whatever. Yeah. So then he gets in, he's in this contraption, and they poked him initially or something, or they lasered this little symbol on his chest, which was kind of neat. Spin him around, anal probe.
Nice.
And I was just like, really? Anal probe. That's what we had to do in this movie. So, yeah, that happened, and that was one of the other things. So, they get back to Earth, and they're all lovey-dovey, oh, we're gonna be forever. And then they run back to the cabin, and they stumble upon an army outfit on the scene, to which instantly shot and killed. And I was just like, yeah, that's how this movie should end. So you see her get shot, she runs out, she's like, oh, hey, save us. Boom, shot in the gut, falls to the ground, and the kid's like, no, no, no. And obviously, then he gets taken like 8 bullets and he's to the ground, and then god damn, this is so cheesy. Their final scene together,
like reaching a bloody hand out to one another.
Yeah, they reach their hand out, she pulls out the engagement ring out of her pocket and hands it to him, and he puts it on her finger. And then somebody walks up and brains them.
Nice.
So I was just like, yeah.
I want to watch this movie.
I'm making this sound like better than it is. And maybe somebody will have a better outlook on it, but like, there was just, the acting was terrible.
Yeah, the acting in the Sacrament wasn't
good. But I mean, not good. Just like, there's too many things in them. I'm just like, that took me out of it. And then at the very end, you see one of the soldiers, he's kind of dressed in, you know, formal uniform and talking to this guy that you only see from the back. And he's talking to him about, you know, did we get everything? There's only been minimal casualties. This guy spins around, black trench coat, black suit, black tie, pulls out a cigarette, sparks it up, starts smoking. And I'm just like, really? You're going to steal from the X-Files right here?
That's great.
And so, yeah, alluding to this
cigarette smoking man,
I was just like, yeah, but the movie had so much potential. Like, there's part like found footage, you know, feel to it, and I felt like they could have done a really smart job, but it's only like a couple of scenes out of it because this dude's like running around with his phone up.
Yeah.
And I felt like they could have done more with that, but they kind of abandoned it halfway through the movie. And so there's
much like America is abandoning that as a vehicle.
Well, they should, because it's, yeah.
Having said that, The Sacrament is actually a found footage movie.
Is it?
But when I read the article about it, it said, like, this is like the reboot of found footage movies. Like, it does it in a way that's not distracting, and it makes sense to the story because they are a film crew, and it's not necessarily found footage. Like, when you watch Blair Witch, at the end, you're like, well, who the fuck found the camera? You know? Like, there's a reason.
Yeah.
This. So that made it nice. I watched an alien movie that's found footage called Abduction.
Okay.
Horrific.
Yeah.
Horrific. A family goes camping in the Tennessee mountains, and it's this true story where there's these mountains in Tennessee that there's, like, you see blue lights shooting up out of it.
Yeah.
Like, a couple times a year. And, so they're camping there, and one of the sons has autism, and he's like 11 years old. You never see him in the movie, but he's the scope. So, like, his therapist has him do everything through a camera because it makes him feel more a part of the world, and it's his thing or whatever. And it's fucked up.
Hmm.
And it's got a pot-growing hilljack, you know, right-wing nut.
Yeah, it's too. Like you have to when you have alien abduction movies. You gotta have that conspiracy theorist.
Greys fucking terrify me, though. They really do. Because I see it as something that could happen.
That's the other thing. So, I don't know why we portray aliens, for the most part, as bipedal, fairly humanoid creatures, and yet nothing about their way of living, or their...
would show that they would evolve that way.
Yeah, or their, like, construction of their vehicle, their spaceships, because they show you inside the alien spaceship, and it looks part... That's the other thing. So there's a Matrix feel to the middle, in this middle of this movie. Because the inside of the spaceship looks like the breeding grounds for in the Matrix.
Yeah, why can we have clean aliens?
Yeah, but
where's the Starship?
But it's Enterprise? Like these pillars that it's part Matrix, part like Independence Day feel. These pillars just hanging from the ceiling, and I'm like, what? Like how? Like who's thought that? Like what engineer?
It's a bioorganic ship.
Like what engineer? Like thought this was a good design? Like you can't get around in this place. There's no interconnecting roads anywhere. I'm just like, I just watched this. I'm like, that struck me. I'm like,
you got mad at the movie because of the infrastructure of the aliens.
Because nothing about the movie at that point was keeping me interested. So I decided to pick it apart to shit. Because usually I don't do that because usually I want to just enjoy the movie as it comes. But when dumb shit happens, I'm just like, nah, I got to pick this thing apart because nothing is keeping me, you know, in it to enjoy it. At that point. So I was like, I don't know, maybe go see this movie, but this could have been so much better.
So the traditional view of the Greys is that, you know, like, many different people have had the same story throughout time of these creatures, so that's why we have this, your phone's gonna fall, that's why we have this, like, I don't know, this cultural view of them. So the theory is that they're not aliens, they're evolved humans. They're time traveling.
Yeah, what is that from?
What?
That's from something.
A kid told me in the 8th grade.
Okay, no, I think that's from a movie or something, or I've heard about that before.
The reason they look that way is it's actually a suit. Like, if you see Fire in the Sky,
yeah,
they show a gray after it takes its suit off and it looks like a human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like pink and gross.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
It's a theory.
I just think it's more just like mass hysteria that once somebody says something, you know, people catch on. Like, yeah, I saw it too. I'm like, no, you didn't. You're crazy. I'm not saying that there are not alien life out there. I really believe that there's alien life. I refuse to believe the universe is so massive and that we're the only
living thing,
the only planet with living life on it. Like, living life. What a kind of word phrase is that? It's terrible English from an English major. Frailed English major, I guess that's where I can absolve myself.
It's okay, I talk bad. Yeah. I flunked.
I don't know where I was going with that.
You're so flustered from talking about the stupid movie.
I am, because I just...
I'm going to go watch it right now.
I wanted it to be...
As soon as you leave, I'm turning it on.
I wanted it to be, like, so much better than it was, and... Man.
I'm going to put off watching Mad Men to go watch...
You're probably going to watch it and be like, Troy's an idiot. This movie is fantastic.
This movie's fucking epic! Michael Ironside!
No, but I'm telling you. The notes that I pointed on, and there's a couple others with the main girl and the way she, like, flips out, like, uncharacteristically. Like, she's portrayed initially to be sort of calm and very logical and level-headed, and then just flips the fuck out.
Alien Abductions on Netflix. That's the movie. You go watch that, and I'll watch Extraterrestrial, and let's compare shitty alien movie notes.
Can I not? I found this, of strolling through Amazon before we had decided to do your idea, and there's a Kurosawa movie that's Macbeth, but with samurai. Ooh. So I really want to watch it.
Yeah?
It's called, like, Throne of Blood, and I'm like, yeah! You had me at Throne of Blood and the Japanese dude's face on the front. Like, I'm in. Like, that's all I need. Actually, I mean, obviously, you assume... It's samurai at that point, but yeah, I really wanted to watch that.
Did you ever watch VHS or VHS 2?
No.
Oh, okay. That's another fun found footage one. There's a, you know, it's like an anthology.
Yeah.
And there's one scene that's aliens, and they have a nanny cam on their pet dog, and so the scope is from the dog's point of view. And they, you know, all the kids are having to sleep over while their parents are out of town or whatever, and the aliens come and get them, and everything's shot from the perspective of the dog. The fucking, they get abducted, the dog too, and the movie ends with just the camera falling to earth, and you know it's the fucking dog's dead body. It's so awful.
Or they just, the camera fell off.
No, there's a dog. There's a dog.
You actually see doggy?
Yeah, he's like paws and shit.
Aww. I'm sad.
But falling from like fucking miles above the earth. It's awesome. Yeah, horror movies are the best, even when they're the worst.
Like after I watch it, I almost like tried to find a different one to watch.
I can't talk about this.
To do another one, but I was like, nah, there may be some redeeming things. Like I said, I would give it a C+. Like, I don't know, just... The ending really is what sealed it for me. That's when I was just like, no, fuck this movie. Like,
oh, Michael Ironsides, what happened to you, sir?
Well, yeah, his
death. Remember Total Recall? You were awesome.
Or Starship Troopers.
Yeah, well, both Paul Verhoeven, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Or anything that you're in because you're awesome.
Or season 2, episode 3 of The Flash. I mean,
good episode 2.
Yeah, that was a good episode. Yeah, that was really good. Anyway, if you want to hear about The Flash this week, you could tune in to Mad Chat on Monday or Tuesday or whenever I put it up. But until then, it's Halloween, so go watch a fucking scary movie. Seriously.
Go watch Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat.
Yeah, it's a movie that came out like 2009-ish, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's got a few people in it. Anna Paquin's in it. I can't blanking on other names, but... It sort of presents itself initially as a sort of an anthology movie, but all of the tales tie together. And it's
so a Stephen Sondheim movie or
Soderbergh movie? Yeah, I'll have to let you borrow that because I have that on Blu-ray. Actually, if you're not doing anything, and if listeners, if this gets out to you by before Saturday, I'm hope maybe.
Yeah.
There's a free viewing at 10:30 at 10:30 in the evening at Carmike Theaters of Trick or Treat. So,
oh wow!
If you would like to
this weekend,
yeah,
fuck like this Saturday. My mom's birthday
at 10:30 at night.
Yeah, we're doing a cookout and a fire and getting drunk.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
It's my family days.
But if anybody else out there wants to go, I probably will do it. I don't know. I got nothing else going on. I don't have a life.
Well, okay, anyway. Now, go watch a horror movie, because even when they're bad, they're still good. Have a happy Halloween, even though Halloween's next weekend. We'll have another episode by then, but this is your Halloween episode for this year. So, yeah.
We apologize.
Get your best girl, take her to the pumpkin patch, you know, tell her you're waiting on the great pumpkin, and then feel her up.
Get your best girl?
Yeah, your best... it's from the 50s,
man. Yeah, well, I know.
That's when Linus was a thing, right? Did that show take place in the 50s?
What are you talking about?
I was talking about the Great Pumpkin.
Oh.
Charlie Brown.
Yeah. Okay.
Fuck. All right. I'm done. Over and out.
Goodbye.